Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I want to use for a little while this afternoon in teaching on this particular point. The 22nd verse, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. I want to use for my title this afternoon, Living in a World of Fantasy. Having a profession without a procession. And I want to talk to you tonight, this afternoon, about that. We expect children to live in fantasy worlds. I know it's a common thing for children to imagine themselves in various degrees of fantasy. And even grown-ups sometimes build their castles. And here a while back, a fellow was talking to me about a lovely church. And I asked him how he was going to get it, and he told me that they were praying for $100,000. And so that's all they needed was just to live in that world of fantasy. They probably visualized themselves in a beautiful edifice of some kind and a lovely church, but all that they had was just a world of fantasy. And I know that's all right in the natural, but in the spiritual,
yes,
it's so dangerous to live in a world of fantasy.
Yes.
It's so dangerous to think that you have something when you really don't have it.
All right.
It's so dangerous to have the mechanics of Pentecost in your hands. It's so easy to go in the air. And even maybe you might even speak in tongues. I know my sister-in-law could never keep her victory with God. And one night as she knelt on our altar, I preached and she had come to church and she knelt at the altar and immediately her hands went in the air and she began to speak in tongues. And I knelt down beside her and I said, Berta, I said, don't let the devil kid you.
Right.
I said, quit that speaking in tongues.
Uh-huh.
And she turned around to me as if to just horrified that I'd say that. But I said, it's the devil doing it. I said, go through with God.
Yes.
Let God
speak
through you as the Spirit of God gives you utterance.
Yes.
She wept and wept before God. She refused to speak in tongues until God brought her through in a marvelously filling of the Holy Ghost. It's a dangerous thing this afternoon to live in a world of fantasy spiritless tonight.
Amen.
We went to the General Conference in Louisville, Kentucky. Most of you possibly didn't get to go. Some of you were there. Some of the greatest preachers that I ever heard stood tongue-tied, so to speak, before God. Their messages were bound. The whole services were bound. We went there because we were Pentecostal, Holiness, Jesus' name, UPC.
Yes.
We were going to whip that television issue. And we went there with that in mind. And our spirits were so corrupt that God could not speak to us. And I remember the last day, some of you that were there, and the last day of that conference, old Brother Yaden got up and he said, I'd like to make a resolution. And Brother Chambers gave him the floor. He said, I'd like to make a resolution that every one of us take time out right now to pray and seek the face of God.
Hallelujah.
And we passed that resolution on the conference floor. And Brother Chambers called us ministers to prayer. What a sight it was when we got over that auditorium and see thousands of ministers. life and give me what I needed in that conference. And that night in the service, and Brother Lumpkin stood to preach, using for his text, don't sleep the sleep of death. Over about 15,000 people stood through the entire message with tears rolling down their cheeks and a quick remark after that like I've never seen before because people realized it wasn't the 20,000 people that made the service. It wasn't because we were United Pentecostal, but we needed God and we were trying to live in a world of fantasy that we were accepting because we had a big crowd. But it's a dangerous thing to live in a world of fantasy.
Yes, amen.
It's a dangerous thing. I've had it down with this, and I hope there's no evangelist here that take offense if there is, God help me. But I've had evangelists. In my church, there was shock. Their prayer life was practically none. I know, because you don't get out of bed at 11 o'clock in the morning, fiddling around all day, and then get into the service and really get what God needs for them. And I've seen them thumb through their old dogged ear notes. They had a message kind of on their heart, but got there and the people wasn't there that was supposed to be there. And so they thumb through it and then get up there and just preach like a house prophet. And they knew how to preach. They had sermonized those sermons along. They knew just how to put the punchline in and just have it just exactly right. But when the altar call was given, and when the chips were really down, you could tell that they had preached their whole message in a world of fantasy. They had a profession, but they didn't have any possession down inside of them. And it's so dangerous to do those kind of things. Young people, you can shout a lot easier than you can prevail. You can shout a lot easier than you can pray. You can sing a lot easier than you can do a lot of other things. But I want you to know the young person that's going on with God checks their life. Their prayer life is what it should be. Their dedication is what it should be. They're not paying a lot of attention to how they act, whether they can shout or not, but whether that Spirit of God is moving inside of them like God wants them to do. A few Sundays ago, I was went over to church. I studied for a couple of hours. I got up and woke up the next morning early, as I usually do. I knew that I didn't need to go to church. I knew my sermon was all in order. My Sunday school lesson was all in order. But I knew one other thing, that I needed to pray. And I went over to the house of God and I began to pray. And the Lord began to deal with me, and I began to pray for God to send us out new people into our church. And I looked back that Sunday morning, and we walked about seven people, strangers, into our church. I learned later it was a Catholic woman and her family had come to our church. God anointed us to preach that morning. God anointed every song that was sang. God anointed every testimony. One man got up and testified in the anointing of God, and this impressed this woman. I didn't know who she was, but that week I called her, and she told me, she said, I'm a Catholic, and she said, that's my first time to ever go to a Pentecostal church. But she said, Reverend Wilbert, I want to tell you, I felt a warmth in that church that I've never felt before. And I was impressed by your message, and I was impressed by the singing, and I was impressed by the music. I was impressed by the testimonies. And she said, you can rest assured I'll be back and visit your church.
Hallelujah.
That night about 10:30 in the night, she called me, asking me to forgive her for being calling so late. But she said, my little daughter was so impressed with your church that she wants to make it her church home.
Praise
the Lord. And said, would you come and pick her up tomorrow? I went to pick her up, and we were all ready to go to the Catholic church. The next Sunday, she said, I got one more. And last Sunday, I drove up there and picked up five out of that one home. I was prepared to catch more than just a shallow experience. If people are trying to do something for God, we need to learn that we can't live in a world of fantasy. This church was born in a travail. It was brought about in travail. And only God can move in our lives and make us serve. what they ought to be here.
Amen.
You see, Samson was born in this world. He was dedicated to win the world for God. He was dedicated to save Israel. But you know the story of Samson. I don't have to go into detail. But Samson that day, as he rose and shook himself as he had a poor time, he didn't realize that that world of fantasy that he was living in, that playing hands of the world, was not for him.
Right.
And when the reality really came to him, he found that he was helpless. A lot of young people today play fast and loose with God, and it seemed like it's all right. But then just in a moment of passion, just a moment of decision that you've got to make, you don't have the power, you don't have the strength, you don't have what it takes. All you've got is just an empty shell, and it just doesn't work. You can't live in a world of fantasy.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. And I feel today that when we talk about it, there is two places in the Word of God that brings us to this thought. And there is one, the five foolish virgins. The Bible said the five foolish virgins was virgins. They all had lamps. They at one time had oil. But somehow or other they had never needed to use them. They had never needed to use them. I believe with all of my heart this afternoon as I'm standing before you that we're facing things out ahead of us that we're going to need everything we've got. We've never needed to use a lot of things that we may have just had hanging around. But the Bible said, when the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then was the time, the testing time, of whether they had the goods or whether they didn't have the goods. And I believe this afternoon that the real need of every one of us is to realize that we are, in one sense of the word, slumbering and sleeping. If you knew the soon coming of the Lord this afternoon, it'd be a different atmosphere from this congregation. I didn't even know whether it even be me shouting or not. It would probably be a time of soul searching and weeping before God. But the thing that I'm saying this afternoon is we live in that world of fantasy. We're Pentecost. We're United Pentecost. We've got standards nobody else has got. But I want you to know God wants to know, have you really got oil in your lamp? Is the supply there that you really need? Have you checked it lately? Or are you just living in a world of fantasy? I think I've got it. Lord, I did prophesy in your name. And I even had the power to cast out some devils in your name. But down deep inside, we don't really have what we think we have. I thought of the world of falsehood. And you ladies, forgive me for this. But I imagine a lot of women folks think I'm really stuck up in another little town of Greenville. Because I never know what they're going to look like from one time to the other. And a lot of times they'll say, hi, Mr. Whitman. I say, hi. Seems like your face looks a little familiar. But I don't know whether they've ever met them before. And maybe they're people that I've known ever since I've been in Greenville. But they just change a little bit. And all of the things you've got to make up with, your paddings and all of the things, and you can just walk out and just look so nice and everything. And somebody was sitting at the general conference in Miami Beach. They were sitting there and they could read Quaker Oats in the hairdo of one of the gals' hair. She had this Quaker Oat box all proper right here, and they read Quaker Oats. And I suppose Quaker Oats is all right. I never did want to wear it in my hair. But what I'm saying, that falsehood. And you go home and take off the false eyelashes and all of the things that you can put on. And I won't name them. But all of that. And when you really stand before the mirror, you're just that old individual self. You're not. more than just what's shown up.
Right.
And the Bible said that God sees us as we're naked before Him.
Amen.
He doesn't look at the pomp and glory and the padding, all the eyeshadow and all the things that makes us to look like a beautiful Christian. But He's looking right down in the heart.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord.
He's letting us to know that we need the genuine Holy Ghost to shine through. I talked to a missionary one time. He came by our place, and I was talking to him. And I said, how comes that you fellows are having such a revival over there, and you never hear of one of you ever having a bit of trouble? Just one revival right after another. Just hundreds of souls being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, oh, Brother Woodard, he said, we're having our problem.
Good.
He said, they're going out as fast as they're coming in.
Yeah.
One missionary told me that when his people come in, he said, they quit stealing, they just borrow it, never bring it back.
Yeah.
Praise God. And he said, we're having our troubles. He said, we're having our difficulties. And somehow or other, as I talked to that missionary, I wish they'd come home and get off the cloud nine and admit they're having some problems and admit that's not as good as it ought to be. I want you to know this afternoon, we let on like we're sweeping the country with the gospel, but we're just kidding ourselves. There's churches that's struggling. I don't know if church in Gridley needs a revival. I don't know about your church, but we need a revival. We know how to get a revival. We're not doing near as good as we try to live. I hope I don't step on anybody's toes, because if you're doing it, keep your tracks. But a track come out, and our dear Brother Price was the daddy of it, and he loved it, and he tried to promote it, and I asked Brother Price, I said, let's come out of your tracks. He said, Brother Woodward said, we handed out so many thousands there in Napa, and said, not a soul came. But I wonder if he was an individual on the outside and he was looking for a church, and somebody come up and said, look out, the Pentecostals are coming. And they attract. It's a strange Pentecostal. Far as you can see, Pentecostal. Is that really the way it is? Are we really sweeping our country like that? Is there a whole horde of Pentecostals coming down the road? Are we about to invade this country with Pentecost and wipe out all of the nominal churches? No, 1,000 times no.
Amen.
But we've tried to kid ourselves and say we are. And we tell about drug addicts and all that finding God like we're just wiping them off the streets. But we're not doing it. We're living in a world of fantasy. And the devil is trying to cheat us out of the things of God. But I want you to know this afternoon, we can have something for the world. And the world can know that we're in the neighborhood and they can appreciate us. But I don't believe that God's pleased with us bragging about our holiness and bragging about what our achievement and bragging about all this. I believe we ought to be humble about it. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for Jesus' name. Thank God for worship. Oh, realize that we can't live in a world of fantasy. It's dangerous. It's really dangerous. I drove over here today in a new Oldsmobile, and I can be just as big a shot as anybody. But we had the payments put on the 15th of the month, because we don't have quite as many payments on the 15th as we got on the
1st.
And on the 15th of the month, Sister Woodward said, do you know what? The car payment's due, and zoom, off the cloud that I got. I wish they had a good step in the
day.
I'm all right. 30 days out of the month. But I'm not very good on Monday. Because I can live up on cloud nine. And somehow or other, you and I can just live up there on cloud nine, and we can just say, well, we're just doing good. Everything's doing good. Everything's just coming along fine. We've got the most spiritual church in all the world, and we've got the most holiness church in all the world, and our women folks never did anything wrong. I know one poor pastor that was bragging about at the fellowship meeting one time about how that his church was such a high standard of holiness, and how that he just kept his church in line, and And he would just run on, and you pastors need to get a hold of yourself and get a hold of your saints. It wasn't very long after that they found good evangelical wives off in the church. He said, well, what happened to you? Maybe he was up there in Calvin. Living in fantasy. Yeah. I preach the word of God. Nothing can happen in my church because I'm preaching the word of God. Don't you? Because we need to live in reality. One man told me one time when he was imagining building the big church and everything, and I asked him how he was going to do it, and he said, you're the opposite of faith. That is Brother Bledsoe I was talking about. He said, you're the opposite of faith. I said, no, I'm real.
Yeah.
You're in cloud nine. But you're coming down.
Yeah.
You see, there is a need. One little girl got up in a testimony service one time. And she said, you know, so I thought I was backslid. But the other day I got to praying and I cried. And after I cried, I knew I wasn't backslid. Is that our gauge? Are you living up there someplace because you can cry? Are you all right?
Come on. Lord, help us. Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
My Bible says that if that spirit beareth witness with his spirit, you're a child of God.
Yeah.
You may be so low you got a dang in your feet off a dime, but if you've got that spirit bearing witness with his spirit, you're a child of God.
Amen. Yeah.
But let that be according as the Spirit of God gives you our hand. Praise God. I know your works. And your labor. And your patience. And how that cannest not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. Has found them large, has borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and not fainted. But he said, there is just a little thing that I want to talk to you.
Yes.
And that's your first love.
Yeah.
I've been pastoring, I just thinking as I was sitting there. I started our first church in the beginning of 1945. That's a long time. I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of pastors come and go. Well, I've seen a lot of young people come and go. Just got a long distance call the other night from a pastor, and he said, and I want to send my regards for a couple of young people that he's in the ministry, and his wife and him is doing so great. And they told me to tell you thank you, because they were my young people. They were the ones I dug out of the wreck. But when those young people were in our church, it was a continuous battle to keep them praying and keep them where they ought to be. Brother, sometimes I got ashamed of myself when I treated those young people. You know, I just seemed like I was all time trying to get them to straighten up and give them to pray. And I didn't even think there was any chance for them. But somehow or other, God just held them and held them. And that first love, oh, the beauty of that first love. You say, do you act like you did when you first was filled with the Holy Ghost? No, not really. And I don't even act like I did when I was first married to my wife. And she doesn't even treat me the way she did when we were first married. Been a long time since she met me at the door and said, honey, I love you. Been a long time. But I want you to know there's a deep love in our hearts for you.
Praise the Lord.
We're just plain silly about each other.
Praise the Lord.
The way you want to talk about it.
Amen.
And you won't be jumping as many benches as you did when you first was filled with the Holy Ghost. But I want you to know that love does not have to dwindle.
Right.
And if there ever was a need for us to understand that we just cannot live in that world of fantasy without God. If you don't have it, all the holiness of the world will make you what you ought to be. If you don't have it, all the patience and all the hate for sin will make you what you ought to be. But it's when you allow God to just burn within your soul, and that love begins to flow through you, and that Holy Ghost, oh, it's so refreshing. When you don't allow the devil to cheat you, and you've learned to talk in tongues, so you can just get it down the altar in 2 minutes' time, you're talking in tongues, and you cheat yourself. But oh, if you could just let God just burn within your heart, maybe for 30, 40 minutes of worship, and then all of a sudden, just a burst of the Holy Ghost, and edifying the Spirit comes in your life is so refreshing. That's what He's talking about. That first love. I've heard people say, well, I still don't like sin. Well, I'll tell you the truth about it, I never did taste the whiskey in my life. And I could probably backslide to the core and never drink whiskey because I never tasted it. But I'm not going to gauge my experience whether I like whiskey or not.
Right.
I'm going to gauge my experience whether I'm filled with the Spirit. Whether
right.
That Spirit is bearing witness in my spirit. Then He spoke to the church and He said to the church of Sardis, I want to write to you. He says, you've got a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Everybody's talking about how spiritual you are. And you're tearing the place apart and shouting and having a big time, but God said you're dead. And then He went on to tell him, He said, now there is a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garment, and they will walk with me in white for their word. But then He said, I want you to know that if you'll overcome this thing, this false profession of yours, that you think you're alive and you're dead, if you'll overcome it, He said, I want to blot your name out of the land of life.
Praise the Lord.
If you'll just overcome it.
Praise the Lord.
That's what He said. He said, if you'll overcome it, I won't blot out your name out of the land of the blood. Then He got out of the church of Philadelphia. And he had the less praises for that church of any. And he went on to say, he said, I know your works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. Thou hast a little strength. Oh, I thought us Pentecostals was going right there. You mean to tell me we just got a little strength? Yeah, he said, you just got a little strength. Just a little strength. And you haven't denied my name. You haven't denied my name. Did you know that this is the only church in the churches of the seven churches of Asia Minor that He didn't say anything about, against, but He did tell them that they just had a little strength. In other words, what He's telling the church of Philadelphia, I'm telling you reality. You're not going to go like you used to go. You're not going to be shouting like you used to shout. But you've got some strength because you haven't denied my name.
Amen.
And He said, I'm going to make you a pillar in my church.
Lord.
You don't need to brag about it. You don't need to yell about it because you've got some strength and I'm going to make you a pillar in my church. Amen. Praise God this afternoon.
Okay.
I'm glad from the deep of my heart that I know where I stand with God.
Praise the
Lord. And I'm not trying to kid you nor kid nobody else. It's harder to pray than it was 35, 6 years ago when I received the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
it's harder to preach than it was a few years ago and really travail before God. It's harder to do a lot of things because we're dealing towards the end.
Yes.
The devil has only got a little while to work. And for one believer, you've got 10 unbelievers. For one faith, you've got 10 that doesn't have any faith.
Yes.
But we have got a little strength.
Praise the
Lord. He got to that church of Laodicea, and he said, the thing that's about you, you're neither cold or hot. But the thing that really got the Lord is because they said, I have need of one. I have need of one. And I want to close with this. And I want to talk to you real seriously about it. Young people, you get a spirit within you and you don't even need your pastor. That spirit within you, I don't need him to tell me what to do. I've actually heard people make that statement. I've heard saints make that statement. We don't need him to tell us what to do. We just don't need him. I've been living for God and I'm all right. I just don't have need of him. I think a few years ago, we had a church that had a large group of young people. And they were really spiritually used and spiritual young people. And this pastor got the idea that his church was the most spiritual church there was in the whole country. So he made the statement to his young people and to us fellow ministers. He said, you know, he said, I think we'll just kind of pull in and just quit fellowshipping. He said, in fact, he said, I've told my young people not to fellowship the other churches because our standards of holiness is so much higher than the rest of them, and I feel like it's damaging to our young people. And so he pulled them in to his little Jerusalem. And they had a bang-up time. You'd hear how the meeting was finding God and all of that. And we went on with our services just like we always did. Very seldom ever seen them. When they come, and they were real spiritual and all of that. But I drove by the church just a couple of years ago. The paint is all off of it. It's run down to nothing. The pastor fell in sin with a woman in his own congregation, and they went the way of the world. And today it's a little free Jesus-named church there and just struggling for existence. Just a very few there. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Woodward? I'm trying to say this. Saints of God, if there was a time when you need your pastor, you need him now.
Amen.
Pastors, if there was a time when you need your saints, you need him now.
Yes,
pastors, if there was a time when we need each other, we need him now.
Amen.
We may have some little pet theories of ours. But oh, God, let us mingle together.
Yes.
Let us fellowship together. Don't let us get that spirit of the holier than thou.
Yes.
And leave the world up there a fantasy. And say, just because I don't do this and I don't do that and I'm so much better than somebody else. But oh, God, let us face reality.
Yes. Amen.
Let us face reality today. Oh, God, help us to realize that we need to live in reality. We're facing things. We're facing things. We're not doing as good as we used to do. Our evangelist needs to shuck the old notes as they've worn out and get some new messages. Our pastors and I, for one, need to pray and seek the face of God. And I'd love to see somebody stumble through the door as I've seen them before and say, I need God.
Yeah.
And really live in reality. Oh, God, help us. We're not doing as good as we think we're doing just because we have the holiness and all of that. And we need to face reality that we need to live for God. To be what God has had, do what God wants us to do. The Lord bless you. I hope I've said something to help you at all. I'm so concerned about Pentecost. I went to a camp meeting a few years ago, and some of you that know me real well, maybe you understand me just a little more than others. But I've never been emotional. I've never danced a jig. I've never run the aisles. I haven't backslid from that. I just never was. I didn't get the Holy Ghost jumping all over the place. I just raised my hand and began to speak in tongues. You say, well, what's wrong with you, Brother Woodward? Well, you take people at ball games. I watched them when I was little. Someone was throwing their hats in the air, screaming and stomping and just having a big time. They're more emotional now. They're enjoying the ball game, but they're not as emotional. But I've gone to camp meetings to where that a few years back, the old Fraser Park, I helped build a lot of stuff in old Fraser. When the minister would preach, you know, and when tears would begin to roll down the cheeks of the people, and people would come straying in from the outside and come into that ark, waiting for God.
Glory to God.
And the last few camp meetings I've gone to, we've screamed and yelled and stomped, and even the women folks are running the aisles now. Until it just seemed like it's just so empty and shallow. And everybody that gets up there tries to get more of a hoop and a yell and a shout. Don't we need some quiet time before God and weeping before God and soul searching and asking God to help us? Don't we need that today in which we live in? Or do we just need to be emotional and get caught up and get a rock band to going and Miami Beach to have rock music to going and hooping and yelling and all of that? Oh, God, let us examine ourselves. Let us come down to where we live and be realistic about it. We need God today. We're not doing quite as good as we think we are. And I'm not trying to squash the show. I hope we have a good worship of God tonight. But I remember one time I was visiting a church, and that meant Paul got up leading that song service. He did everything but turn handsprings. And it was dead as a mint. And he said, I don't know what in the world's the matter with this bunch this afternoon tonight. And I was supposed to preach after that. And he said, there's nothing that stinks and any deader than a Pentecostal service. He said, this stinks to high heaven tonight. And just bawled them out good. And then he asked the brother to come up and lead the praise service. And that old song, it's not so old, that we used to sing quite a lot. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Had it not been for an old rugged cross. As our brother stepped to the podium, he just started that chorus, and the pianist picked it up and said, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. And God just melted that entire congregation. There wasn't a dry eye in the house as it began to weep before God. I wonder if that's the way God wanted it. You see, sometimes it's easier to shout than it is to pray. It's easier to shout than it is to pray. It's a lot easier for a minister to get up and preach a lambasting, tear-you-apart message than it is to preach a message of love. Because to preach a message of love, he's got to give of himself. Anybody can preach a message of condemnation, but a message of love has to come from down here. But us don't live in the world of fantasy. The young people, check your experience with God. Don't think you're so strong you can stand out there in this world in which we live in. And us older people need to check our experience with God. Us live where God wants us to be.
Praise the Lord.
Not in the world of fantasy. The Lord bless you.